Now turn your Bibles with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 12 for this evening. I will be speaking on the text that is before me. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 5 and 6. It says here, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Now, as we go into this lesson, we first must consider that where I left last time. Hebrews chapter 12 has many lessons for new covenant believers. And we saw the last time the encouragements in the Christian race: witnesses to help, weights that hinder, and the hope the Savior provided. We looked at that last time. But we began another discipline that we were not able to conclude and to develop, and that is encouragement in Christian chastisement. Encouragement in Christian chastisement. This is also a part of the Christian race, chastisement. If you were ever in any form of competitive athletics, as I was, you may have seen how at times a coach corrects or encourages his athletes or their athletes. Because now they have women coaching too. I don't want to offend anybody. You may see it at a college or an amateur level, where the coach takes out one of the players in a game, sit that player next to them for the rest of the game. The player may be valuable to his team, but the coach must teach the player a lesson. You are not bigger than the game. And sometimes the coach may even prefer to lose the game other than keeping the player in the game. You prefer to lose without that player than to win with that player. And you probably have seen this. You probably have seen good players sitting down and you wonder, well, why is this guy not playing? Well, he's so good. The coach is teaching him a lesson. He's chastising him. You don't know his ways. You don't know anything about him. If he was to talk to the coach, you might learn a lot more. And some of you young people should learn this. No player is bigger than the sport he's playing. These guys nowadays getting a bundle of money to throw a basketball in a hoop. And with tattoos all over them. I don't even watch the NBA anymore. Because these guys like Kyrie Irving and these guys, forget it. I don't want to see them. I create so much problems in the media. These are the heroes in the young people. Put your heroes somewhere else. Not these guys, these villains, because that's what they are. Villains. In my time growing up, players were not like these people. But I'm making a point. But this is what the Christian chastisement is like. God chastens his people because not one of us is bigger than the church or the ministry. Not one of us is bigger than the Lord's church. And he must deal with us. And sometimes people think that because they are my friend, that they are exempt from chastisement or discipline in the church. Don't ever think like that. Not if I'm representing the gospel. The word chasteneth in verse 6 comes from a form of a word that is translated learn or teaching, Titus 2:12. Grace of God appeared to all men, teaching. We are learning as we live our lives, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And if we are not living this way, God will chastise us if we are His children. Chastisement in Hebrews chapter 12 only, and let me emphasize, only applies to believers. Unbelievers do not sense God's chastening. Neither would God chastise unbelievers. They are not His children. And the writer gives the analogy. Which father that you know doesn't chastise his children? For if you are without chastisement, as many all are, then you are bastards. It's very clear. Chastisement, brethren, is only for Christians, believers, true believers. If I want to look at some things this discipline produces in the lives of God's children, the first thing we ought to consider is to whom the author addresses. And it tells us in verse 5 and 6. Two words are used that describes believers. One is singular, the other is plural. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. That's one. Now, at times this word children doesn't refer to believers, as I shared with you last week, Elmira. Sometimes it is a negative word, nepios. But when you read a word like technion, and you're not called to study Greek like my brother over there, and that's why you have to be correct in your exegesis. Sometimes the word children refers to unbelievers, especially when Paul said in Ephesians 4 that you will not be children tossed to and fro. That's a negative word. That's an unbeliever. But at times the word pateon or technion is referring to children of God. And that's why we can say emphatically, because of the study of the words. But the word children is one of the words that refer to God's children. And then my son, that's another word. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord. So here we see these words that tells us that chastisement is not for everyone. Nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges, here's the word again, every son whom he receives. It is obvious who are in view in these words. Children of God, people of God, not merely professors of religion, but people of God. Now, every misfortune or every hardship in our lives may not be God's chastening. Let me make this clear. Every misfortune you experience in your life may not be God's chastening. It may be a result of your own foolishness, your mismanagement of your life, or your mismanagement of your spiritual life. It may not have anything to do with chastening from God. It's the natural way of how things work out. Nevertheless, God chastises his children. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. The writer gave two Old Testament quotes. One from Proverbs, and this is a quote from Proverbs 3:11-12. And let me read the quote. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the Father, the Son, in whom he delighteth. And by the way, we don't know which son Solomon was referring to, but we know that God the Father chastised God the Son. And if God the Father can chastise the Son, he was chastened for our iniquities. Who are we to be exempt from chastisement? The difference is Jesus was not chastised for his sins, but he was chastised for our sins. But he was chastised. There's a son who was chastened for our iniquities, and he bore our chastening. And if we are sons, we too can expect God's hand of correction as well. There's also a quote from Job chapter 5, and you might have margins in your Bible that has next in that margin, Job 5:17. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. Now these words come from Eliphaz, Job's friend. Remember him, whom these words here in Hebrews 5:6 address, chosen of God, sons of God. Reading Galatians 3, we passed there already, 26 and 27. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. But children of God are not exempt from chastisement. That's the first point. Second point, the necessity of chastisement, verses 7 through 10. Now, in my lifetime, I have to admit that I have met many children that are without chastisement. And you see them all the time. They're the most rotten, unmannerly kids to deal with. I suggest that you and I read Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14, if you have those kind of children. Proverbs 23, 13 and 14 says, withhold not correction from a child. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. And some of you little ones should hear this. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shall deliver his soul from hell. Today, chastisement is thrown out of the window. Parents want to be psychologically correct, and they're not chastising their children, and they see the fruits of that later. There are ways of chastising children. There are proper ways to do it. You don't have to brutalize or take advantage. But many children, I've heard some reports already from my wife and some children in Sunday school, because I have to know how they behave. And I can point my finger right to the source of the problem. I went to the Anglican church, and if I was to be ever rude to my teacher, though they were unconverted, when I get home, I get a spanking. And I'm talking about chastisement tonight. And we are short on that discipline. Our Father chastises us. I would be worried if I could drift from God and get away with it. You should ask questions if you can live a life of sustained violation of God's stated commands and be a happy person, a happy Christian. You should ask questions. If you can be happy and live a life that is disobedient, you should ask that question. In fact, a person can be in the will of God, walking in obedience to God, and still experience chastisement. Look at Job. Look at Joseph. Everything Joseph touched was a success. But God dealt with him to bring him to that point. Chastisement doesn't only come when a person disobeys. Neither can you point and say, God is chastising him. You can't do that. God is, like my brother said, he believed in the sovereignty of God in everything. This COVID, brother, this COVID, God brought it here to see what you and I are made up of. And we, when it started, failed miserably. Never looking at the hand of God in the matter. Never see it. And those who did were scorned. Doesn't only come when you disobey. You and I don't know what God sees in our lives, or what he sees in a nation, or what he sees in a church, or disposition towards God and others may be unseen and unknown, but God sees and he brings correction. The phase that we went through just recently, I knew what was going on. I see what was going on. I saw God's hand chastising us. And you should wake up and be spiritual and see the same thing. David was a wise man after God's own heart. And David said, let the righteous smite me. It may be a kindness. And let him rebuke me. It shall be as excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it. Psalm 141 verse 5. This is the attitude of a spiritual man, brethren. At times God uses good men to correct us. But many times the Lord uses wicked men to chastise us. Or the unconverted within the orbit of the church. Sometimes the unsaved in the church God used as a means of correcting me, that I can again look at myself and look at my ministry. You remember what David said to Abishai when he was running for his life? When Shimei, I think, was cursing at David, and Abishai says, this dead dog, why don't you want me to take off his head? David said, behold my son, which came forth from my bowels, seek of my life. How much more now may this Benjamin do it? Leave him alone. Let him curse. For the Lord have bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look upon my affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. That's a man of God. Absalom kept David on his toes, but also on his knees. And I don't know who you have in your family that ought to keep you on your knees, because God is at work, not necessarily in that life, but in yours. You have many lessons to learn. You have many rough edges. Take it with joy. God also uses his own servants to administer the discipline of chastisement. Isaiah told Hezekiah the king that God will bring retribution on him for flirting with the king of Babylon, the world. Your sons will go into captivity and will be eunuchs. The end of the kingly line will cease because of you and what you did. Hezekiah said, good. And by the way, Charlie sent me that. You probably saw it today. Charlie sent me that quote today. He didn't know it was in my notes. Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. God did not allow Hezekiah to see this carrying away. He speared him. And sometimes God may not allow you to see the demise of your children that you fail to correct. He might take you away before you see it as a chastisement. At times we pout, we rage when others mistreat us and never see that God is speaking to us in regards to some area in our lives that need work. Chastisement is necessary if we are going to be a holy people. Verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we give them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? The apostle draws an earthly reality. One stern look from a father often straightens up a child. Sometimes I see the difference right here in this church. When fathers speak to their little ones, it is different than when mothers speak. And some homes, if they can get rid of the dad, they think they do a good thing. That's homes today. They think he's the troublemaker. One stern look from my father, and I know he meant business. Once I let go of firework on the doorstep. You heard me say this already. Back in Barbados. A bomb, one of those little bombs, Corey. And I don't know, it probably startled my dad that was in the house doing something. He says, Brian, come in here. A beating. A bomb, a little firework. Excite me. I was out there showing off with my friends. And he fixed me up. We need this today in our homes. And Paul draws an example from an earthly perspective. Sometimes I see the difference right here between mom and dad. It is different when father speaks. When fathers speak, Paul's, I keep saying Paul because I'm so familiar with his epistles. The writer to the Hebrews says we give them reverence. Similarly, when God corrects us, it is us to respect him. Respect his laws. Respect his ways. Respect his house. Respect his worship. But earthly fathers chastise us for their own pleasure. Our heavenly Father corrects us for our profit. Verse 10. For they are verily for a few days chasten you after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Earthly fathers correct us because they want to see us to be something or somebody in this life. Our heavenly Father corrects us because he wants to see us to be somebody in eternity. For they are verily for a few days chasing us after their own pleasure. A few days is relative to earth, time, this life. It's only a few days. The Lord corrects us for eternal purposes, that we might be partakers of his holiness. To whom the author addresses here in the context? God's children. The necessity of chastisement is profitable unto holiness. 3. Christian chastisement is effective. Sometimes earthly parents or fathers chastise and is not effective. Christian chastisement is effective. Now let me show you. Verse 11. No, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. It's effective. We have to admit that the Lord's chastening is not a joyful experience. I look at my life and I remember when I came home and I told Marcel what the doctor said about when he diagnosed me as having prostate cancer. And I said to her, Marcel, this is the options that I have, and this is what I'm going to do. And I told her straight up, I'm going to do surgery. And I went ahead, and the Lord helped me. But I know that that was the hand of God. Who know what I would have been without that? I don't know. I'm not saying anything. But some men get beside themselves in their 60s, talking about mid-age crisis. And I gladly, when everybody was talking about what they're doing and what they're going to do, I says, look, Lord, I am at your mercy. Do what you want. And some men today got all kinds of prostheses and this thing. You're not children of God. And you know what's a prosthesis if you were in a hospital. I know about all these things. Accept your chastisement. You may be stricken with something. Would you get beside yourself? I don't know. I really don't know us that well. Brethren, I don't know. We have to admit that chastisement is not joyful. The psalm says, the Lord have chastened me sore, but he have not given me over to death. Even in the Lord's chastening, there's grace. The hymn says, let sorrow do its works, and grief and pain. Sweet are your messengers, sweet their refrain. When they can sing with me, more love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. I never hear anyone say, send grief and pain. I never hear anyone say this to God, send grief and pain. The songwriter say that. I hear them say, pray that I will be healed. And there's nothing wrong with that either. But this is the tenor of the song. The writer may have captured the effect of chastisement. Maybe there was a better Christian after chastisement. We're not saying that one should not pray for relief from suffering for those who are ailing. We should pray for our loved ones. We should pray for our people. We should bring them to the throne. But would their chastisement or would their chastening have any spiritual good in their lives? Would it be effective after they're healed? God is wiser than us all. Hezekiah's recovery or extension of life was the worst thing that happened to him. Read on. Later, we are told that Hezekiah did not render thanks for the benefit God gave him because he became lifted up in pride. Sometimes God gives us what we want. Chastisement in the lives of the Lord's people is effective. In the Lord's people, effective. The psalmist called to mind God's dealings with him and said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes." You hear what he says? He went astray, but now he keeps God's way. And then he went on further and says, "Do good. Teach me. Teach me some more." Problem with some of us is that we are too earthly minded. We are too secular with some of us here. Many Christians, after God's dealings with them, have a change of behavior. They acknowledge the hand of God and seek to be even more faithful. And I think that some of you haven't gotten the message. I always say, I have a sister here that I tried with all the time. And I can say this publicly. Because some of us, I don't know about some of us, we haven't gotten the message after God strike us down for a while. We still breaking, going for that earthly piece of real estate. God is showing us something. After a serious bout with sickness or even death, they would realize how fragile life is and seek to make your life count for Christ. We should seek to be more faithful. Some people never give of their finances. Where often I thought you was going there this morning in your lesson in Genesis with Pharaoh. I thought you was going to go to tithing. When Joseph said that the children should give a fourth part to Pharaoh. It's a principle that what they earn, part of it belongs to God. But somehow you manage to sidestep it, but I pick it up again. And the other part belongs to them. And that at the end of the day, the last verse you shared, it says that the children of Israel were prosperous or wealthy or something to that effect, and it shows that the more you give to God, the more he blesses you. And I guess my brother would like to hear that, but it is a principle. But we feel that the less I give to God, the more I will get. Earthly. I don't think like that. Verse 12, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, make straight paths for your feet, that lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." You hear what the author says? That which is lame, that which needs touching. "Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." The heart. What is lame? Let it be healed. To whom the author addresses? The Lord's children. Sons. God doesn't have cousins or nephews or bastards. Sons. Everyone will not experience chastening. Everything you get is not chastening. The Bible says, "When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever." Psalm 92:7. Christians will experience the chastening hand of God. Sometimes God uses people. For children, literal children in the house, he may use the parents. At times, as I was saying, a Christian doesn't have to do sin to be chastened. He could be living on merrily in the fear of God. And God sees something in their lives and he chastens them. God uses this means for his purpose. You see the necessity of chastisement. It is profitable unto fruitfulness. It is necessary, brethren. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that is bearing fruit, he purges, that it may bring forth more fruit. You know that verse in John 15. At times you see a farmer, and sometimes we see it, I see it at home, clipping away the leaves of the plant that are not lively. A few days later, you see that plant freshening up, springing up. The process is called pruning. And many today in the church need freshening up. Pruning. Many. Cleansing. Freshening up. Chastening is effective. Last point. Verse 8 issues a warning. Last verse. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, all Christians are partakers. If you are without this, then are you bastards and not sons. If there is no correction, no conviction, no conversion wrought by the Spirit, the question you must face is if you are a son or a child of God. The question is serious and the answer should be obvious. You may be fooling yourself because you cannot fool God. So never look at those dark moments in your life as a professing believer. Don't ever look at those sad times, those struggles, those hardships, that sickness that wouldn't go away. Don't ever look at those things as a Christian as wasted. Always see them from the hand of God. Don't ever see that the cross you are called to carry is a burden. If we are the Lord's children, we will come out on the other end, profitable to God and profitable to others. And that's why God chastises us. And we give thanks for the word of God. And the next time I come again, I will seek to close out Hebrews 12. And I won't be dealing with Hebrews anymore. I just thought that these messages are seasonable for what our church is going through. And that's why I bought this message deliberately, because it's the word of God. Let's pray.